God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So, these readings that Keith read, the one from Exodus where God intends to do violence in the Hebrew story, and Moses intervenes and says, "What's up with that?" And it says God repents. God changes his mind. And, you know, and from that point, it's a straight line all the way to the cross where we have Jesus gathered with a group of folks who responded to him. He connected with, it says, tax collectors and sinners. Now, that's a technical, legal definition for classes of people. Right? In other words, to be a tax collector meant you were a collaborator with the Roman oppressor, and therefore, even though you're Jewish, you're despised by your own people and you're declared unclean. That means you can't go to temple, you can't participate in the life of the community. You're excommunicated. Same with the sinners. The sinners is a class of people, and you know, in the law code of the day, it was very clear who was in and who was out. Sinners were out. And you could be a sinner by any number of things. Just read the book of Leviticus just to get started. And so there's an elaborate process for reinstating yourself into the community if you're declared a sinner. So you could be made clean and join. Now, the Pharisees and the scribes, this class of people, they're the keepers of the custom. They maintain the tradition so that it gets passed down with integrity to the people. They are stewards of God's ways, God's laws. It's true, some of them get a little picky. And it's true that they are scandalized by this itinerant rabbi, Jesus, because to eat with a sinner or a tax collector defiles you. You are unclean. So Jesus knowingly seems to be violating their rules. And if he starts that, you know, we're on that slippery slope and, you know, we're going to lose our tradition. At any rate, the Pharisees are doing the best they can, but they're locked into a framework that literally determines who's in and who's out. And they're afraid or they don't like the outsiders, the outcasts, let's say. Now, for a moment, I want you to get in touch with your inner Pharisee, right? We've all got that part of ourselves that because of what we believe or because of the people we hang out with or because of our story, we feel like we're kind of on the inside track, you know? We're better than those poor schmucks out there who have violated or just aren't good enough. So we all have that inner Pharisee that subconsciously trusts that it's righteous and that God is pleased or that the world is pleased and that we're doing good in the world. And now I want you to get in touch with your inner sinner, that part of you that does not feel welcome at the table. Whatever table that may be, that part of you that hides in fear and shame because you're judged. And you judge yourself and your inner Pharisee has a field day on yourself, your inner sinner. Now here's the deal. The idea of repentance as Jesus begins to lay it out is not what the Pharisees think it is. He says, "Hey, look, guys, let me show you how this goes down. Imagine a shepherd." And shepherds were technically unclean. They were one of those classes that for them to go to temple or participate in the rituals of the Jews, they had to get cleaned up. I mean, ritually clean. So Jesus, he takes the perspective of the outcast shepherd, and he says, imagine a shepherd. He's got 100 sheep, and one of them wanders off. And he goes, oh man. He says, hey, dear assistant, would you take the 99 back to the pasture? I got to go find this sheep. So he does. And he finds this sheep who's down. And when a sheep gets down, they can't get back up. They need to be helped up. So the shepherd gets the sheep, picks him up, puts him around his neck on his shoulders, and takes him home. And then he says, hey, great news. Let's have a party. We found the lost sheep. And Jesus is saying, wouldn't you rejoice? That's all this is about. These sinners and outcasts who you grumble against for my befriending them and welcoming them to God's table, even though that scandalizes you, the grace of God opens their heart and they're receiving the Spirit in a way that your heart is closed off to because you think you're already in and that you're good enough based on what you believe or do or think. So I just want to close with helping you feel the kind of repentance that's at stake. And hopefully get the right gospel message. I was a young priest back in Houston, Texas, in the late 80s. And my wife Gwen and I were getting ready to move to Fredericksburg, where I was going to serve a parish pretty much the size of St. John's. And so this was my last service. And it was the evening service at the church. And it was a big service. And it tended to be the service where folks in recovery or folks who had been broken by life, it tended to be the place where they went, right? So it was, it had great music and an informality about it. Well, I just thought I could wing it. I was so busy. I've been packing boxes. I'm kind of burned out. I'm in transition. So when it came time to preach, I just stood in the aisle like this, and I started saying things that my mouth dried up, my face got red, and I finally heard myself. It was an out of body experience, and I heard myself saying things that was just stupid cliches. And so I said, look, folks, I don't want to waste any more of your time. I'm burned to a crisp. I'm in transition. I'm not really prepared for this. So I'm just going to sit down and let's do the Nicene Creed. I'm sorry, but it's just real. That's the deal. And so then I start to turn around, and then someone in the front pew says, well, Steve, can we pray for you? I said, oh man, look what I started. I said, okay, sure. I need all the help I can get. Okay, do you mind kneeling down so we can lay hands on you? I was going, whoa. So I remember kneeling, and then the pews, front pews just empty, and all these hands are on me, and they're praying, and I'm just thinking to myself, oh man, this is me. This is my life here. And then it triggered tears. I mean, the dam broke, and all the grief and all the, the autopilot stuff that I had been doing, thinking I was just knocking things off my list. Suddenly my heart opens up and I feel God's blessing. I feel God's forgiveness. I feel utterly welcomed. And so I rose up and I was clear. And everybody agreed it was the best sermon they had ever not heard. But that's what's at stake. You know, when that inner Pharisee is the voice of the accuser about and picking on yourself, on your sinner, you just got to just stop listening to the Pharisee and come back to the table where you are welcome. And so it's good we're all here. We're invited to come with open hearts, open palms, and extend your hands across that rail into eternity and receive the blessing that says, you are my beloved son, you are my beloved daughter, you are that lost coin, and I have found you. And so let's celebrate. Amen.
Amen.